Providence for Today welcomes you to the study of God's incomparably precious and never-changing Word. This is Pastor David Simpson in behalf of Providence Church of Powell, Tennessee, and friends of the Gospel of God's Sovereign Grace. We trust God will powerfully and effectually reveal His Word to our hearts and apply it to our lives. Providence Church Place of Worship is located at 104 Faust Kearney Road. You'll find us on Clinton Highway just up from the Claxton Elementary School. When writing, please address mail to P.O. Box 1467, that's 1467, Powell, Tennessee, that's 37849. Our radio broadcasts, Sunday sermons, and other resources are available on our website. Please visit us at www.providenceundergrace.com. Then you can also listen to additional messages by downloading the Sermon Audio mobile app on your handheld devices or by visiting sermonaudio.com. Then if you will type in Pastor David Simpson, you will find your location. And you can find us on Facebook at Providence Church. Of course, your interest and attendance with us in worship on Sundays at 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock is welcomed. I will bring a message from God's Word and from my heart. We are now in our fifth year of teaching and sending out the Word of God on WYSH Radio, broadcasting out of Clinton and Knoxville, Tennessee, which are nestled in the foothills of the beautiful Smoky Mountains. By means of the internet, the broadcast has the potential of reaching folks with the gospel around the world. To those who listen to our broadcast in other states, countries, and continents, you are most welcome guests of Providence Church. I am grateful for the support and the prayers of so many. I pray God will cause His Word to reach His chosen sheep, and that He will call each one by His sovereign grace, declared in His gospel of sovereign grace. In our study of Bible characters, we have looked at Adam and Eve, then their sons Cain and Abel. Then we spent some time thinking about Noah, and then we turned our attention to Abraham. Next, as we're studying the characters of the Bible, we turned our attention to Abraham's son Isaac. We have considered him historically and typically. This is our ninth and concluding study of Isaac, and today's theme is Isaac, a bride for Isaac. We have looked at 10 different truths concerning Isaac. This is the 11th, and so consider with me, please, a bride for Isaac. We're going to look at 5 different scenes in the 24th chapter of Genesis, so if you have time, have a Bible available, open up the scriptures and look with me, please. Scripture opens up in chapter 24 and verse 1 saying, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." Now Sarah died at age 127, according to the second verse of the 23rd chapter. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born, according to chapter 21 and verse 5. Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, according to chapter 25 and verse 20. And this would have made Abraham, at the beginning of the 24th chapter, 140 years old. So when we enter this 24th chapter, we see that Isaac is alone. And we come to our first injunction in the scripture, the first negative, where it said, "It's not good that man should be alone." Then when we come to the second verse of this 24th chapter, let me read through the fourth verse and I ask you to follow along. It says, "And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. First of all, the man here is referred to as the eldest servant. If you were to look back into the 15th chapter in verse 2, it says, "And Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus." There are several things here to consider. First of all, Eliezer, it must be true, is the servant of the 24th chapter. And his name, Eliezer, means God is help. So that's the first thing we see there. The second thing is that Abraham requested that Eliezer be the promised seed. And of course he was not. And after Eliezer, he requested Ishmael be made the promised son. So when you think that your prayers must always be answered and your petitions must always be fulfilled in order for God to be ruling, it certainly is not so. Many times in the scriptures there are requests that are made and they are not fulfilled. Abraham is certainly hoping that Eliezer will be the promised seed, but he was not. But the third thing we come to is that Isaac has reached a mature age, and Abraham sees no prospects of marriage and no prospects, therefore, of a promised seed of coming from Isaac. And so something has moved him and he must act. Of course, the fact is that the scripture opens up and says Abraham was old. And so now that he's old, he's must be thinking something's got to be done. And I'm not going to see to it that Isaac marries one of the Canaanite women. And so he said to Eliezer, "Put your hand under my thigh." Strange thing to us, but to them it was a token of subjection, of readiness, of willingness, and faithfulness. And then it says that he swear by the Lord, the God of heaven. The word Lord is Yahweh or Jehovah. And that name means that he is a being of absolute self-existent. He came from nowhere. God was first and foremost eternal. He is self-existent. He possesses essential life. And he possesses unchanging attributes. He did then, he does now. The name God is the Hebrew word Elohim. It appears 32 times in the first chapter of Genesis, with no other names appearing along with it for God in that first chapter. But after the first chapter, the names Jehovah and Elohim are often used together. And it refers to the greatness and to the mightiness of the self-existent one. And he said, "Thou shalt take a wife unto my son of the daughters. Thou shalt not take a son unto my wife, my son of the daughters of the Canaanites." And the Canaanites represent those not chosen of God, both historically and typically. They were infidels and they were idolaters. The dangers of marrying an unbeliever are well documented, and Paul addressed this very directly in the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And then he said to him, "Thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Now notice that he said, "my country and my kindred." If you were to look back in the 22nd chapter and in verse 20 and 23, you would find who these folks are. But he's talking about one of like mind, one of like values, one of like religion, and above all, I'm looking for one who is an elect of God, would be the request of Abraham. And may I say to you that this is what every believing young man and woman should be looking for, one of like mind, one of like values, one who believes the same, their religion is the same, and above all, one who is an elect of God. Abraham sent Eliezer to Mesopotamia in verse 10, and that is Iraq today. And this was the place of Abraham's birth and the place of his early years. Now verse 5 says, "And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence you came? So human will comes into question. Eliezer asks, suppose I find the right woman, but she refuses to come and wants Isaac to come live in Mesopotamia. Should I agree? He asks, should I compromise and meet her request? May I say to you, my friends, that the question is the same regarding the preaching of the gospel of sovereign grace? We might ask, suppose men will not come with the preaching of the true tenets of salvation, God's sovereignty and unconditional election, man's total depravity and spiritual inability, Christ's particular redemption and imputed righteousness, sin's remission and full justification of the elect at the cross, the Holy Spirit's secret and sovereign regeneration, his effectual call and undivided preservation. If men will not hear that message, should we compromise? Well, I ask you to see Abraham's answer in verse 6. And Abraham said unto him, that is unto Eliezer, beware that thou bring not my son there again. You see, Abraham warned Eliezer against compromising, as we are warned to make our message not palatable to the fallen masses, but true to the living God. Now verse 7 says, and the Lord God of heaven, which took from me my father's house, took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from there. Abraham asserted that God called him in truth, and in like manner he will call the bride for Isaac in truth. Abraham isn't trying to be hard, but truthful to God's word and to his promises. Thus, my friends, we only have to stand by God's promises and be faithful to his message and the calling of his sheep. Brethren, that's where you and I take our stand. Now, verses 8 and 9 read like this. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son there again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. Abraham was highly confident that God's sovereignty would overcome stubborn, ill-disposed human will. Likewise, the sovereign grace preacher and witness is confident in the overcoming dominion of God's will. Now verse 10 reads, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. When it says 10 camels for the goods of his master were in his hand, 10 is the number for completeness. It's like 5 fingers on one hand, 5 fingers on the other hand, a multiple of the two, making 10. 10 is the number for completeness in Hebrew thought. Eliezer was completely supplied for the journey. That's why he had 10 camels and he had all the supplies that he needed for the journey. And this tells us of Christ, who was completely prepared for his journey. And it tells us of the Holy Spirit, who was completely prepared for his journey in the world that he is working in yet at this moment. His journey is thought to have been about 17 days. Nahor is the brother of Abraham and would have made him the grandfather of Rebekah. And the city that he's going to is Haran. So this brings us to consider the 24th chapter in its typical truth. So in this chapter, it seems to me that Abraham is a type of God the Father. Isaac, very clearly, is a type of God the Son. Eliezer is a type of God the Holy Spirit. And Eliezer went on a journey to find and bring a bride for Isaac. as he is now in the world bringing a bride for Christ. And so that leads us to this question, who or what is Rebecca a type of? And ah, my friend, that's a question well worth considering. So we've visited the home of Abraham and seen the scene of him conversing with Eliezer and sending him away to find a bride for Isaac. So we come to scene number two, and that is Eliezer at the well. And that's his verses 11 through 14. Verse 11 reads, "And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even at the time when women go out to draw water." The first thing that I want you to see about Eliezer is that he is kind. He made his camels kneel down. The Holy Spirit, of whom Eliezer is a type, isn't harsh but kind and gentle in his call to grace, just like he was kind to the animals, having them to kneel down in a restful state. The second thing is that Eliezer is an agent of life. Notice that it says, by a well of water. Having studied Isaac, we see him associated with various wells. These weren't cisterns, water that would come from the sky and simply run into a holding tank, but these were wells that were sustained by underground springs. They were springs where the water was clear and cold and full of taste and life. As Jesus said in John 7 and 37, out of your bosom shall flow rivers of living water. Everything associated with Isaac and everything associated with Jesus Christ is associated with the waters of life. So he is kind. Eliezer is an agent of life. And then the third thing I would say about Eliezer is that he was intelligent. It says that he was there at the time that women came out to draw water. May I say to you that the Holy Spirit calls at just the right time and at just the right occasions in life? Verse 12 and 13 read, "And they say, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water." So if we are correct that it's taken him a little more than 2 weeks to travel across this desert land, and he has come to the outskirts of the city of the family of Abraham, and now he stands here and he prays that God has sent him to the right place at the right time. So let's see. We have said that Eliezer is kind, that he is an agent of life, that he is intelligent. But I see another thing about Eliezer, and that is he is humble. He said, I pray thee. James said, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. You see, Eliezer didn't try to presume upon God's providence, but he simply said, I pray thee. Holy Spirit is God, and he is powerful, but his persuasion over the souls of God's elect is tender. It is quiet. It is restful. And so here he is. He sent a prayer of petition. He is asking God to go before him. He was in a quest for a maiden for Isaac, but he asked not for himself, but for Abraham's sake. We will see him in time that God will hear and answer his prayer. May I say to you that God had predestined, listen to me carefully, God had predestined his prayer just as much as the bringing of Rebekah to Isaac. God wills his answers, but he also wills our prayers. You see, it is right for us to pray. It is will for us to pray, but God has also willed his answer. And sometimes that answer is no, and sometimes that answer is yes, as we have seen already in our study concerning Abraham and then concerning this Eliezer. In verse 14 it says, "And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she will say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed," notice that word, appointed, "for thy servant Isaac. Thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." So we've said Eliezer is kind, he is an agent of life, he is intelligent, he is humble, and he is trusting of providence. When he said good speed, that's a good word. That is a word that, those two words really are one word, and they mean appoint as timbers to a floor. He was asking to be sent by divine appointment and providence. Nothing which honors God happens apart from his appointment. The Holy Spirit work to awaken and call is altogether consistent with God's purpose in election and the Godson's work in redemption. He calls no one, God didn't elect, and Christ didn't redeem. So the picture of the floor is that the timbers are falling together just in a most perfect fashion, good speed. And that's what is meant here, and so it is with God's predestination and providence. So in scene one, we saw Abraham's home. In scene two, we saw Eliezer at the well. And now we see Rebekah at the well. It came to pass after he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the son of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Friends, may I say to you that Rebekah is the right girl, from the right family, in the right place, at the right time, and she will have the right response. In verse 16 it says, "And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. She went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up." So the first thing is Rebekah is responsive. Before he had done speaking, she already had responded to him. It tells us in Isaiah 65 and verse 24, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Rebekah is not only responsive, but she's beautiful outside, says she's very fair. She's beautiful inside, that's why the emphasis is made to her being a virgin. And Rebekah is intelligent and diligent. She went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up again. Rebekah is thought to mean a noose, sort of a strange name for such a beautiful girl, but it's thought to mean that because of her beauty and her disposition, she is irresistible. It's a pretty good thought. It says in verse 17, "And the servant ran to meet her, and he said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again to the well to drink water and drew for all his camels." So Rebekah is respectful. She said, drink, my lord. And Rebekah has a servant's spirit. She said, I will draw water for thy camels also. Oh, what a beautiful girl inside and outside. And Eliezer, in from verse 21 through 28, and Rebekah discuss his going to her household. It says in verse 21, "And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not." What a statement is this. Can you not identify with Eliezer? I can. When we launch out in faith regarding any particular matter, we don't know, we can't see. But the best thing we can do is do as did Eliezer, who held his peace. In other words, he said nothing but remained quiet, observing the hand of the Lord. In verse 22, Eliezer gave some expensive rings and bracelets to Rebekah. He did this showing great gratitude for her hospitality. In verse 23, Rebekah identified herself as the daughter of a near relative to Abraham and therefore to Isaac. In verse 24, she offered room and boarding to Eliezer, his assistants, and to his livestock, saying, "We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in." I remind you, she doesn't know what is about to unfold or why this distant traveler has passed her way. She is passive in the cause of the events, but she isn't resistant to them either. So it is with the calling of God's elect. They are not active in the cause of the events, but neither do they resist the result of them. And then we see the response of Eliezer in verse 26. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath left destitute my master, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." Friends, this was a man of the faith. In humility, he bowed his head. In thankfulness, he worshiped the Lord. In awe, he said, "Blessed be the Lord," that is Jehovah, God, that's Elohim, "of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth." Eliezer could not see the will of God ahead of time. Now he is beginning to see it unfolding before his own very eyes. Eliezer summarized, "I being in the way, the Lord led me." Surely he meant being in the way of prayer, being in the way of trust, being in the way of grace, being in the way of truth, being in the way of providence. In addition, he meant being in the way of his master Abraham. Where did he want to go, that is Eliezer? Well, he said, "To the house of my master's brethren." Where did God lead him? God led him, there it is, "to the house of my master's brethren." Who are the master's brethren? Historically, we must say Abraham's near relatives. Spiritually, we must say the church of the living God. Those who compose the church know Christ as their near relative, as their redeemer, as Ruth did Boaz in the book bearing her name. The church, the body of Christ, is composed of the ones believing the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace. As the church drinks of the well of the life-giving water declared in the gospel, Rebekah is at the well of fresh springs in the desert. My friend, I'm going to have to stop here. We still have two more scenes. The Lord willing, we will cover those next week. May I say to you that in all of the studies of the characters of the Bible, that these Old Testament saints point us to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the eternal God who entered the human race by virgin birth. In behalf of all whom the Father chose before the world's foundation, he perfectly obeyed every requirement of God's law and endured its every penalty. He completely put away the sin of God's elect people and perfectly earned the righteous satisfaction of the whole law of God. Resulting from in that righteousness, God imputed it to the spiritual and eternal accounts of his chosen people. By that righteousness, God's grace stands sufficient and efficient for all the Father gave him. At and by the cross, God forgave, redeemed, reconciled, and justified his chosen people to himself. Faith is the gift of God to look at the completion of their salvation. My friends, I hope that you will join me next week. I am Pastor David Simpson, saying until the next time, may the light of providence direct all your paths, and may the hand of providence supply all your needs.